Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. If there was any doubt how this show was going to go today, I started with Jane Brown, and the spirit of what it is that this show is about today is, does race matter or not?
Why you got a Fox Sports 1 t-shirt on?
Because you gave it to me.
Oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that right. was part of my Negro bag when I came up to the studio that
all
day.
All right. Yeah. Well, this is not a Fox Sports 1 show. I don't want This is me coming to you, Bob.
That's
coming
right.
to Compton.
That's right. No, you're not in Compton. See, now you
got
to spend
South
a little bit more time
I'm sorry.
Over here, man, because there's a big difference between Crenshaw Boulevard
I'm sorry.
And Compton, California.
I'm sorry. Okay? I apologize.
Because we coming up over here.
Got you.
You know. So, Jason, first of all, the comments.
Jason Whitlock, by the way.
Jason Whitlock.
Wait, you didn't get a proper introduction.
All right.
People know me, I guess.
They do, man.
Yeah, by now,
believe
man.
Me, they know. they know in ways. Not really, though. They really don't know.
No, they don't know me. But
and that's
ahead.
Part of the problem.
We'll clear this up.
Let's do this right now. After watching several different pieces, the Chris Broussard, Bruhard that you guys had, who was the other brother sitting on the show?
Eric Davis.
That's Eric Davis.
Yeah, he used to okay. play. I think that's who you're talking about. I used to play. But I think it was Cedric Ceballos was actually in
was that who
segment.
They were? Okay.
Cedric Ceballos, not Eric Davis.
Okay.
Used to play in the NBA.
Did you see the D.L. Hughley diatribe about you?
No, I did not.
Okay. Your boy Charlamagne went back in on you.
You sure? D.L. Hughley, he was on Charlamagne's show?
No.
Oh, okay.
He was
yeah.
doing his own
oh, okay.
show.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
And the broad consensus is that you were over the top and excessive in your assessment of the severity of what happened to LeBron James. And I happen to personally believe that you were out of bounds in the way that you tried to minimize, or the way you minimize what happened to him. And the reason I feel that way is, yeah. is as follows. Anytime somebody takes the time to come to your house, whether it's a $20 million house or a shoebox, and put the N-word on there, that's a reason for concern in this day and age. So you cannot minimize and say that, oh, that's he's rich, so it doesn't really matter. What that showed to me was it doesn't matter how rich you are, you can be subjected to terrorism because of the color of your skin.
So you just made the mistake that I felt LeBron James made. You're calling this terrorism.
That's exactly what it is.
Spray paint.
Exactly. Because when
Bob, we're on Crenshaw Boulevard.
Right.
If LeBron lived here and they had tagged his name on a building or one of his kids' names on a building, I would get where you're coming from. Because we know what tagging on a building means here. In Brentwood, unless OJ has been paroled, it don't mean a whole hell of a lot.
Well, tell it to Bill Cosby's son.
Was that in Brentwood or was that was on the side of some highway?
Not some highway. It was on Mulholland Drive.
And Bill Cosby's son, again, you've thrown me a curveball. I wasn't prepared for that. But Bill Cosby's son was killed
was
in a
murdered.
Racial dispute?
Absolutely.
In a racial dispute?
Absolutely.
Get me up to date on the murder of Bill Cosby's
Bill
son.
Bill Cosby's son was rendezvousing with this white woman
mm-hmm.
who obviously at the time there was definitely a rendezvous because she didn't have no clothes on.
Right.
All right, under her $50,000 fur coat.
Yep.
And it was a murder of opportunity. I don't think they actually set that up, but these Nazi-type boys from Russia saw them on the side of the road and saw a black dude and a white woman, and they murdered him in one of the most elite neighborhoods in Southern California.
I'm not up to date on that murder. I would have to go do some homework before I could engage in that. You throw me a curveball that I'm not ready for. I would have to go do some research to find out what transpired there. Because when I hear that, I'm going to keep it all the way street with you, Bob. That sounds like a professional was in his car, perhaps, and that it sounds like the people that she worked for, perhaps, were involved. That sounds like, again, a lot of time, and I don't want to get off into a lot of speculation. I need to go study up on that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's the proper analogy. That sounds like a stick-up, perhaps. But again, I need to go do some homework.
Please do, because it wasn't a stick-up. It wasn't a robbery. It was a racially motivated crime of opportunity. Because these boys were a part of a Russian organization. All right? Yep. And they clearly had expressed deep hatred for black folks, and they had an opportunity to exercise that hate. But like I say, we ain't going to stretch all the way out there. We're going to go back to the root of this particular conversation, because my sensibilities about race is I don't consider myself a victim, and what LeBron said was necessary in the following construct. We buried racism during a couple of Republican administrations, so to speak. Racism is no longer a factor in this country, and it's the content of your character. If that was true, Jason Whitlock would be as famous as Rush Limbaugh, just based on talent.
Look, no part of me believes racism has been removed from any part of the planet. No part of me thinks that it will ever be removed from any part of the planet. If you study the history of the world, racial division and tension has been with the world since Eve gave Adam the apple. And so there's no part of me that thinks that. But when you start talking about people worth $500 million and to sit there and analogize what happened to his gated home in Brentwood to Emmett Till, and that somehow he's opening up a discussion the way Mamie Till did in 1955 when her 14-year-old boy was brutally murdered in Mississippi, and she had an open casket funeral so that she could entice the media to talk fully about the brutality of segregation, of racism, of discrimination in the state of Mississippi and abroad. This is not in any way the equivalent of that.
Well, to some of us, it is. It's even more egregious when you consider you can make that much personal advancement.
It's even more egregious. Bob, be careful here, man, because, again, you're talking to a spiritual person.
Right.
And someone that literally...
Well, you about to make me start cussing.
Well, again, you're talking to a spiritual person who started today thinking about coming here and having this engagement with you. Matthew 19:24, and how difficult it is for a wealthy person to ever see the kingdom of God. And so I know where Jesus is at on wealth. And so I'm not one of these people. I completely reject the fact that somehow LeBron James, because he's some great basketball player, that somehow his life is more valuable and whatever happens to him is more egregious than what happens to a poor 14-year-old boy anywhere on the planet. I actually believe in equality. I'm not someone who worships the rich. I'm not someone who's a groupie for LeBron James. I enjoy him as a basketball player, mostly approve of him as a human being. But I don't have a special place in my heart, in my mind, or anywhere for LeBron James that I don't have for Bobby Glanton or any 14-year-old boy on Crenshaw Boulevard. That, to me, is where America has things totally effed up. We have put these elites on a pedestal that they not only don't deserve biblically and spiritually, it's why everything in this country is slanted towards their betterment. And I include myself. I'm nowhere near as wealthy as LeBron James. But I know how this country favors the elite and the wealthy, regardless of color. And so one of the main reasons why I interact with you, come down here to Morris Media, is because I just don't have a special place in my heart for the rich. I'm just sorry, I don't. I got into journalism primarily to challenge them and the system that they set up that favors them. And so I'm as much as I know you and respect you, I'm borderline embarrassed that you would somehow place more value on LeBron James's life and whatever inconvenience he suffers, because that's all it really was. He never saw it. His family never saw it. It was cleaned up before he'll ever step foot in Los Angeles. That you would somehow think his life has more value than Emmett Till or anybody, your life or anybody. It's dispiriting to me.
Can you pump your brakes just for a second?
Yeah.
Because that's not what I said. I said it was as egregious to me in the following way. Here's what I meant by that.
Well, clarify.
For him to be as wealthy and as successful as he is.
There we go.
Let me finish now.
All right.
For him to be in the position that he's in and living in a gated community and still be touched like that, I'm going to tell you what that means when you pull up to your driveway, wherever it is, and you see the N-word across your property. That hits you in a place that goes back to Emmett Till, if you know anything about our history. Because that's saying, look, it don't matter how much money you got, We can touch you.
Bob, that sounds good, but it's not reality.
About, it is reality, man.
That sounds good. We're here on Crenshaw Boulevard.
Exactly.
We know what tagging and what graffiti art means here.
And
we know.
You don't supposed to see that in Rockingham. You move to Rockingham to get away from tagging and graffiti, and especially of a racial nature. And so when you get to a point where you can't even be in a...
Bob, we can't go anywhere as black people without hearing ourselves in music denigrating us every way possible. We can't turn on the radio without listening to us denigrate us anywhere with the N-word and every other thing you can think. I can barely go through a telephone conversation with you without you denigrating me with the N-word. And trust me, that bothers me more than what any white person has to say to me. Because again, my expectations for you and me and us, much higher.
Well, see, that's a historical piece because I'm from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
Great. And you've justified it in your mind.
I use that word out
of justified it in your mind.
No, it's a reflex. But more importantly, I know what terrorism looks like, feels like, tastes like, personally. I know what it means to be terrorized by white folks, physically. That word you don't like, I done heard it spewed out of a...
No. I don't have a problem.
But I'm going to amp it up.
I'm sorry.
I'm taking it up to LeBron. And why it bothers me, especially, that it happened to him.
He got a special place.
No, it ain't about special because I don't adore him in that kind of way. I've never met the brother. I've seen him play a few games, but I have never met him.
But because he's rich and lives in
I wouldn't treat it, if he was sitting here right now, I wouldn't talk no different about nothing. The things that I agree with and the things that I disagree with. I'm not in awe of anybody in that way. I admire people for what they do, and people get that twisted a lot of times. When you tell them something nice, they think, you know, you're kissing their ass. And I told you how I feel about that. You know, you be done died for what I did, and I kissed your ass for nothing. I ain't gonna run that risk. I'm gonna tell you how I feel about stuff. And in this case, I think that this is a reflection of how you can move to the highest echelons of whatever profession you're in and still have to deal with the fact that I'm not going to shake this. And I'm not going to
shake what?
Shake the consequence of having dark skin. You can't buy the antidote for that.
Bob, let me tell you what you can't buy the antidote for. And it's really powerful. And you know it because we've had the discussion from the beginning of our entire relationship. I've probably known you a dozen years.
At least, yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know and I know, and everybody knows, poverty is the thing you cannot shake and you catch hell getting out of bed. LeBron James and Donald Trump and Bill Gates and all the rest of the super wealthy elite, regardless of color, don't catch anything remotely close to the hell that poor people do. And to sit up here and to cape up for LeBron James because, and listen, I'm not questioning whether it would happen, But again, when you start talking about I'm Emmett Till's mother and I'm doing an open casket, blah, well, open the casket. Let's see the pictures of what happened to your home. And again, I'm not doubting it, but I'm just saying, if you want to analogize it to Emmett Till, open the casket. Why are we having a hypothetical conversation? And again, I just don't like the analogy at all. A 14-year-old boy brutalized and murdered, a town, a state caped up for the killers of these men. They walked away scot-free, and somehow LeBron James has spray paint on his second home, and it's somehow analogous to Emmett Till. It's not.
Okay, well, let's look at it from this perspective. We ain't got to go all the way back to Money, Mississippi in 1955. We can start with Trayvon Martin. We can look.
It ain't Trayvon Martin.
Hold on, let me make my point. Let me just, we're going to go back and forth. I'm not going to stop with him. I'm talking about the brother that got killed in South Carolina and all them cops that got off from that. Went home.
This ain't it. We don't even know who the assailants are here. Even know who did this property damage that was cleaned up within minutes at LeBron's house, and somehow it's analogous to people that lost their lives?
It was a terrorist act in an era where we're seeing more acts like that. Early this
Bob,
week.
Do you know how much terrorism then goes on right, that's going on right now within this zip code we're in right now?
You know I know. I live in this zip code.
But the one you get emotional and amped up about is some stuff LeBron James had. Cameras everywhere. The police are investigating it. He's got a staff of security and everything. LeBron James is going to be all right. What about the people right here?
Great, 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 great question. And here's how we segue into that. You know what I do every day, all right, in terms of that issue. Poverty being a serial killer.
Right.
All right.
So I just don't understand how you can't. Let's do this. Show me the poor white person that LeBron James or anybody would trade places with. It's so hard here, and his life is so difficult, and it's so much easier for white people.
Show
me the poor white person he would trade places with.
That's a trap question, and
it's a factual question.
It's a trap, because you flip that over, especially coming from where I'm coming from. All right, I have dealt with white people, and I see them all the day on television, going against their own interests. They vote against their own interests because somehow being white nullifies the fact that they ain't got nothing else going for them. Nothing.
That's their issue and their problem.
They wouldn't trade places with LeBron for nothing in the world as long as he was black.
Bob, quit. Quit, Bob. Quit, Bob. Some poor white men wouldn't trade places.
If they had to be black, they wouldn't do it.
And some of the biggest idiots on the planet, but the overwhelming majority of them would trade places in a heartbeat, and you know it. Quit, don't lie.
Why did Donald Trump become president if that's not true?
Bob, that has nothing to do with what we're discussing. How Donald Trump, because again,
people voted against their own interests. Because if you believe
No.
Racism is so insidious, Jason, that it will have people acting in counter to their own interests. They will do it. They will be quiet and act like it don't even exist when they know damn well it do.
Bob, I'm aware of what you're talking about. There's some definite truth to people voting against their own interests because of race. Both political parties play that game to the hilt.
Absolutely.
Bill Clinton got to the level of presidency because he played that game.
Imitated
I'm the Democratic. I'm the Democrat that will be tough on these black folks. And so what he did, and again, I get into this in an article I write, a follow-up on this LeBron James situation. Because again, who did LeBron James campaign for? Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
What circles is he now running in? And when you go really look and examine what LeBron James did in his comments about this incident, straight from the Bill Clinton playbook, I feel your pain. That's what he was trying to convey. I feel, because that's what the game Bill Clinton ran on black folks, I feel your pain. But meanwhile, I'm going to institute these policies that intensify your pain.
Now, wait a minute. How do you look, link?
Because if you
LeBron,
because
policies.
What LeBron, I didn't link him to his policies. I said his shtick of
his shtick.
Shtick.
He doesn't feel our pain. He didn't come from the projects of Akron, Ohio.
Hey, man, do you think there's a lot of people that came from the projects that don't feel our pain? He wouldn't be the first.
Man, you never get over that pain, man. You never get over
Bob,
it.
Bob, would you quit?
You never get over it, man.
Would you quit? Ben Carson, where did he come from? The projects.
He don't act like it.
But again, Bob, I'm trying to have a serious discussion with you.
I am too.
And you're trying to joke and play. We're not,
do I look
again,
like I'm playing?
It sounds like you're moving the conversation for approval for Twitter. And this is the entire.
No. This is not a Twitter
show.
This
is the entire problem with people in the media, celebrities, athletes. Everything that comes out of our mouth is intended to land well over social media.
If that was the case, I'd have a million people following.
I'm not talking about you. Your platform's not big enough yet, but are you mimicking, in my view, in this conversation, the Bob Glantine Smith that I've known for 12 years, are you mimicking that right now? Yes. This is not the Bob I've known for 12 years. I'm just telling you, in this conversation, it's a performance.
No.
I don't do performance. That's why I'll never be popular. And they've turned everything now is political. Everybody operates like a politician. From LeBron James to any celebrity in the world because of social media.
But why him though? Why
everybody?
Why are you focusing so much on LeBron?
Because to me, I have real high expectations for LeBron James. I think LeBron James's intentions are awesome. I think his execution is poor because of the people he surrounded himself with and because of social media. Social media is taking all of us to a very dumb, unhealthy place. All of us. It's being portrayed as the heartbeat of America, and it's not. It's being portrayed as the most important thing for media people, for athletes, and for celebrities, and it's not. And every public action that I see from people in the media, celebrities, athletes, it's all intended to land well over social media. We don't understand who's in control of social media. Silicon Valley and San Francisco, from Google to Facebook to Twitter to Snapchat to Instagram, it's all controlled out of San Francisco. And everybody's catering all their actions to appeal to those sensibilities. And that's what, and it's turned everything, again, I'm used to politicians putting on a performance and doing everything for popularity. Again, we want to analogize because, again, I hoped and my thought was LeBron James could be the next Muhammad Ali, could be the next, and that would be important. And I didn't agree with every damn thing Muhammad Ali did. But Muhammad Ali came from a real place and surrounded himself, whether you liked him or not, with real people that really, again, whether the Nation of Islam, I didn't agree with everything. But I certainly agreed with self-sufficiency and worrying about what we think about ourselves far more than what others think of us. A lot of this stuff I didn't agree with. But Muhammad Ali was based in that foundation, Elijah Muhammad and Malcolm X, and he came from a real place. He wasn't trying to be some brand. He wasn't surrounded by politicians. He wasn't surrounded by handlers who were trying to increase his brand. And that's what I see with LeBron James not following the Ali deal, going down the brand enhancement political lane that social media has set a trap for all of us. And now everything's a popularity contest. And every word that comes out of your mouth, how popular will it be over social media? Will it land there well? There was nothing popular about Muhammad Ali's actions. Nothing. They were real and authentic, and whether you liked them or not, some of them, I didn't like the way he treated Joe Frazier, but it came from a real place, and it wasn't about him being popular. I'm looking at LeBron Chase popularity like a politician, and it bothers me. I have higher expectations for him, and he could be something and again, his intentions are to be something important for black people. He's being led astray, in my opinion.
By
and
who?
This the people around Nike, his handlers, his involvement. I didn't like him running out there campaigning for Hillary Clinton. Anyway, stay away from politics. When Muhammad Ali was at the height of his powers, was he out campaigning for any politicians? Politics is a dishonest place, a very dishonest place. And if you go look at the history of American politics, it's been poison for us.
Well, the thing about LeBron's evolution, because not the last time, but you've been on the show enough times that I had to really figure out which show it was on.
Right.
You said some very interesting things about where Floyd was, and that it threw me. You said, give Floyd a little space to grow.
Yeah.
Well, Floyd is 40 years old. LeBron is 32. It don't seem to me like you cutting him the slack that you
No. My expectations for LeBron are so much higher than Floyd.
Why?
Because I know, I believe, LeBron's intentions are good. LeBron, the work he's done in Akron for the people in his community, good. I have higher expectations. You know, I'm not dissing Floyd, but I just think LeBron's intellect is at a higher place. And I think his passion for young black people is at a higher place.
So why then is this very seldom uttered out of your mouth?
Oh, it's been uttered plenty times, Bobby.
Well,
people just don't hear it. They pay attention to the criticism and ignore the praise. I'm the only person. Hey, man, at some point, you're going to figure out how to do this show with your phone on silent. I mean, you...
Well, the irony is... And this is interesting.
You always got an excuse.
It's not an excuse, because I thought I cut it down. Yeah, but that was Wendell Stimley calling me, which is a perfect segue.
We ain't segueing from nothing.
What? Okay, well, I'm going to bleed him into it then, because it's
important. Not segueing... We're not segueing into Wendell Stimley, dude.
I mean, why not?
Because, again...
That's not relevant if you're talking about poverty? Being a serial killer?
Listen, man, let's get people... I want to get people an understanding. You had me in a place where I thought was important.
Well, And
so, again, my expectations for LeBron are higher. And so people get caught up in, he's critical of him. They ignore the praise. They ignore the fact that when no one would defend Maverick Carter, I went and spent a week with him in New York and wrote a piece putting him in
context.
Who is
Maverick Carter? I know.
LeBron's right-hand man, okay. Maverick Carter. Everybody crushed LeBron. And at one point, I was critical of LeBron for hiring him and putting him in that place. And he was the guy that orchestrated or was involved in the orchestration of the decision. When no one would defend him, I went and spent some time with him and wrote a piece putting him in context and trying to restore his credibility. So, I could sit here and beat my chest about a number of things. That when LeBron made the decision to go back from Miami to Cleveland, wrote a great piece about that was a reflection of what they were really thinking. This ain't about pride. This is about business, what's doing right for LeBron James going back. But again, people ignore the praise and get caught up in the criticism. I don't care. I don't care that idiots and manipulators and opportunists want to exploit what I'm doing and don't ever want to put it in context. Because, again, there's been a lot of people far more important than me that have been misunderstood and demonized when their intentions are good. So I'm not going to throw some pity party for me. I'm going to let people all week or ever since Thursday have been making a name off my name. I'm happy for them. Keep commenting on me and keep adding some relevancy and traction.
Do you really mean that when you say that? Are you saying it cynically?
No, I mean it honest to goodness.
You would have people become a cottage energy destroying the truth about Jason Whitlock.
Bob, there's been enough history written that most of the people that are really coming from a real place – and trying to do real shit, that's what happens. They get destroyed. It doesn't bother. It's a compliment to me. The system beats down on the people that are trying to do something real and have real impact.
Okay, let's look at LeBron's circle, because you said something a little different a few minutes ago about the handlers and all of that.
Yeah.
He's worth at least $500 million now.
Yeah.
Somebody around him is doing something right.
Did you hear me say that everybody around him is doing something wrong?
No. That's okay. What I mean. Well, so specifically, who are you talking about?
I can't put a name on everything. I can talk about the situation and the environment. But first, I'm going to deal with $500 million, and so someone's doing something right.
Yeah.
Look, man, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but God bless this young man. He's 6'8", 6'9". Born into a country that has a place for 6'8" and 6'9" people to make a lot of money. If he were 6'8" and born in India, they don't have the NBA. If he's born in Africa, they don't have the NBA. So maybe he would have been born in those countries and made it over here, but it was a lot easier for him to be born into America with this great athleticism and great size. God bless this young person. And so, again, I've said this before, and I don't mean it disrespectfully. I mean it just honestly and contextually. If LeBron had failed, he would be Michael Beasley. That's what failure would have looked like, given his gifts entered into this society. Michael Beasley is a failure, but he's made $30, $40 million. But he didn't max out his talent. So LeBron's born with these incredible gifts. He's taken advantage of them. And in America, when you're born with those gifts and you take advantage of them, you're going to be worth $200, $300, $400, $500 million. That's the game here. So again, I'm not going to celebrate the people around him for him being worth $500 million. I'm going to celebrate LeBron James. And I'm going to celebrate God, first and foremost, for gifting this young man with that talent and for him taking advantage of it.
Well, as much as it's a gift, it can become a curse because you can die from exposure. Which takes me to another question about race and celebrity and America. What has happened to Tiger Woods in the last
few years? No, man, where are you going?
Here's where I'm going in terms of when you start talking about racism and minimizing racism. Tiger tried to minimize.
I'm not trying to minimize. First of all, I'm not remotely trying to minimize racism. I'm trying to focus people on who it actually damages. And who, again, as a journalist, I'm a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
You are a journalist. You've written books of some.
Yeah.
Journalists are supposed to speak for the voiceless and the defenseless. We should be caping up for poor people. And that's, again, why I don't have a lot of time for sympathy for LeBron James. He was born with incredible gifts. He's maxed it out. He's wealthy now. He's so powerful that he can incredibly curb the impact of racism. He's fine. Spend your time worrying about poor people and speaking for them. And not, and again, this is where I disagree with LeBron. Don't open your mouth. So, I want to let y'all know what I'm going through, and that's why I'm going to have this discussion. LeBron, you ain't going through shit in comparison to people that are really catching hell here in America. And he needs to be man enough and wise enough to understand that. This is what Paul Robeson did. And this is why he was a great hero, and they don't celebrate him, because he was wealthy and understood. And anytime he opened his mouth, he made it crystal clear. I'm speaking for the people that don't have. I have plenty. And America and the world treat me in a way that they don't treat the average black man, the overwhelming majority of black people. There are so few of us operating in that galaxy that LeBron is operating in. And I don't need to spend time worrying, because that galaxy treats people, regardless of color, very, very well.
Well,
I'm talking about the overwhelming majority of us that, I'm even excluding myself, that don't, because I'm in a different place than the average poor person. I can't sit here and complain, oh, my life is terrible and America's terrible to me. It's just not true.
Well, you mentioned Paul Robeson for clarity. Anybody that listens to this show, enough people are not aware of the magnitude of Paul Robeson.
He kept it 100.
And this man was arguably one of the greatest human beings to ever walk the planet Earth when you look at his body of accomplishment. And the sacrifice he made takes him over the top. Because, you know, we hear about Jackie Robinson and different people, Martin Luther King and whatnot.
Bob, I can't believe we having this discussion as close as you work to Jim Brown. And to understand why Jim Brown is one of the greatest human beings to walk in America. And I know that Jim Brown has made some mistakes. I'm not dismissing those mistakes.
Sure.
So I can hear the people right now, oh my God, Jim Brown, and he had issues and made some mistakes. Some of them, I don't know the details of. I'm not interested in defending. Because again, no one, when we talk about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, we don't have to spend 15 minutes talking about them owning slaves and the brutality that they participated in. We talk about their great achievements, and that's it.
No, we really do need to talk about their slaves.
But Bob, again, you're playing a game.
No, I'm not. That's important to me. I ain't met a white Jefferson yet.
I am talking about Jim Brown, and again, how you know that Jim Brown has kept it 100 every day of his life.
Including today, yes.
For disadvantaged people of color. And people, white people, disadvantaged people, period.
Yes.
And he doesn't get celebrated. He doesn't get treated. He sacrificed millions and millions of dollars
hundreds
to keep it real.
Yeah.
And again, I don't, this is what I was hoping to see and still hope to see from LeBron James, the Jim Brown path.
I think he's headed that way. I really do. Maybe
I
not
thought he was.
That you want him to travel, but it's a different era.
It's a social media era,
okay,
which is completely different and much more difficult. These guys, again, if you want to have the contracts and stuff with Nike and all that, there's a way you have to operate that takes you away from Jim's path, that takes you away from Paul Robeson's path, that takes you away from Muhammad Ali's path. And that's all I'm saying. Again, if we really understand what's moving LeBron James and the impact of social media, I made this point, I was talking to a friend driving in here. If Michael Jordan were in his prime as a basketball player right now, he would be operating exactly the same as LeBron James is right now.
I don't believe that for a moment.
I do.
Because when he was in that place, and
there was no social media.
The pressure of
social media puts so much pressure on these athletes. You have no choice.
Or you always have a choice. The question is whether you man up to that or not.
No. Bob, I think one of the things you're missing here, I don't think you understand how the money's flowing right now and who's controlling the money.
The same people that always control the money.
It's different, Bob.
What's different?
Bob, I'm just...
Seriously, what's different?
Silicon Valley and these instant millionaires. Silicon Valley, these tech millionaires, hedge fund millionaires, these instant millionaires, people that, and I'm not knocking them, but we've created a society where you don't earn wealth the same way. You can become, again, you can become a billionaire, millionaire almost overnight without having really done anything. And we've empowered people that haven't really done anything with billions and millions of dollars, and they're spending money enticing people to have things flow their way. And so, again, I don't see LeBron doing anything that the money isn't telling him to do.
Well, in that sense, are you saying that it was advantageous for Nike and the brand of Nike for him to come out and
hell
say
yes.
Being a black man is rougher than anything
hell,
on the planet?
Hell yes.
How?
Because that's the money that's being spent. And there's an advantage to it. It's the new thing. Again, I'm going to throw a curveball and take the conversation in a slightly different direction. Here's the biggest flaw we got going on right now, Bob, is there's a generation, Martin Luther King's generation, my mama and their generation, that paid a price for black folks to get access to all the things that America has to offer. And they paid that price. And now we have a generation that thinks, I have to do what that generation did. And it's not true. They've already paid that price. And what we're blowing the opportunity, what this generation, my generation, should have been about is taking advantage of the opportunities that generation created for us and making sure we built something with those opportunities so we could sustain ourselves.
Okay, that's an interesting perspective.
And so, again, I just want to be crystal clear. And so now we have a generation of young people, they having a new civil rights movement. And we're getting close. We're moving in a direction where that may be necessary. But no, the focus should be on taking advantage of move beyond our victimhood and move on to our opportunities. Because America has opened up reluctantly, cracked the door and given us an opportunity to truly advance in this society, and we've blown it because, again, we're trying to redo what's already been done.
When you say given,
I didn't say given. We cracked the door. We forced it.
Okay. You didn't say given, but I'm glad we got that worked out.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that's important is the civil rights movement, in my estimation, was misdirected because this country always will be about economics and ownership. And we don't have enough skin in the game. For example, I look at this city and Chicago and other cities as it relates to what we own and what we control and what just
no question about us. It, Bob. No question about it. But, Bob, here's the deal. I'm not going to disrespect that generation and second guess them. They did what they thought was best and, in my view, created an opportunity for us. I think I hate to call names because I don't want to sound like I'm demonizing people, but again, we had Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson come in behind that generation. Jesse was a part of that generation, but behind that movement and say, I'm going to be Dr. King. We didn't need a Dr. King.
We needed a Booker T. Washington.
Thank you. And Dr. King had already done it. And again, we didn't need imitators to come in, and because one, they're bad imitators. And if you really listen to what Martin Luther King was saying at the end of his life, he had moved on to economics.
Exactly.
The Poor People's Campaign.
Exactly.
And so we needed people to come in and say, boom, we got opportunity now. Here's how we execute. Here's what we do with this opportunity. Instead, we've had Jesse and Al, and now this next generation come in. Oh, we victims all over again, and let's celebrate our victimhood, and let's be victims. And again, this is what I like about LeBron James, and if he had the right people around him, they would keep him focused on development and business and economic opportunity, and how do you become self-sufficient. They're moving him towards Let's have open casket and talk about what victims we are, and racism is so terrible, and oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, racism. And again, what he doesn't understand, and no one's stressing enough to him, racism's never going anywhere.
Well, let me just say this. You reacted when I mentioned Wendell Stimley in a way that makes me come back to Wendell.
Yeah, no, now it's appropriate. Yeah,
okay,
it's appropriate now.
Because too few people know that Wendell Stimley is the LeBron James of construction management, which employs more people and has the possibility of impacting the lives of poor people more than any industry right now.
Let me stop you right here.
Sure.
Let me stop you right here. So if LeBron James were... What would your reaction have been if LeBron James had come out and said, hey, man, that's bad what happened to me. We've cleaned it up. But listen, I'm not going to spend any time trying to convince y'all I'm some victim of some great crime. I want to talk about Wendell Stimley.
Beautiful.
And the opportunity for us to take
that's
control of ourselves and build neighborhoods for ourselves that we don't have to go live in a neighborhood that's not our own, and this type of thing can happen to us. We can be like every other ethnic group and build our own great neighborhoods.
Matter of fact, I'm finna contract the National Association of Minority Contract to build me a house on top of Baldwin Hills over there.
And so, again, this is what I'm saying. We're focused on victimhood rather than how do we max out this opportunity that is starting to be taken away.
Mm.
And if we don't move now, it perhaps will be taken away. And all you people that are out imitating Martin Luther King, you may become very necessary very soon if we don't take advantage of the opportunity we have now. Because, Bob, whether we like it or not, there is real opportunity out here.
We're not going to march our way out of this crisis. We're going to work our way out of this crisis.
They did that for us. And, again, if you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat history. And if you're not bold enough, man enough, smart enough, woke enough to really understand your history, you just, this is what Martin Luther King and them did. Let me do it. And you don't even understand how to stand on their shoulders. You don't even understand where they were at the end of their life and where they, again, and it's all out there. But unless Twitter tells you or some white teacher tells you, you won't believe it. But the information's out there on what direction Martin Luther King wanted us to go.
So, Jason, given this conversation and the arc of it, what are the remedies beyond just the conversation we're having so far? What is Jason Whitlock focusing on going forward in terms of his voice, his platform to affect social and economic change?
Trying to get us, there's no power in victimhood. There's no solution in victimhood. There's only solution in doing.
And in this, and in your case, doing means what?
For me, I'm a media person.
Mm-hmm.
This is my job. This is my platform. This is my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to open people's minds up to a different solution to our problems. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm here. That's why I, keep coming down here and messing with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I'm trying to communicate to us, look, man, there's a different route to go. And some of these people that are just telling, that's a hustle, man. They are just hustling you.
Let me ask you this. What's your feelings about the Hall of Fame Village in Cleveland, in Canton, Ohio right now? And the significance or the insignificance?
I know it's a passion of yours. Don't put that on me. You talk about it. I don't have all the information. I would be speaking out of ignorance. Again, there's some things I can't address. I like to talk about stuff I know.
Okay.
And so I would have, but I'm
you
more
know
than
about
happy.
Football, right?
Yeah, but I'm dumping in your lap. You tell us what's going on with the Hall of Fame and what should be happening.
What's happening is there's a project where they are creating a Hall of Fame Village, which is comparable to LA Live, the complex that Jerry Jones is building in Dallas, entertainment complex. It's $1 billion getting ready to get spent. And at this point, as we speak right now, there's not one contract that has been let to an African-American company. Not one. Out of $1 billion that they're spending, promoting a sport that was built on the backs of the Jim Browns, the Gale Sayers.
Let's be honest. keep it in context, because the sport was built on the backs of Dick Butkus and Bart Starr as well, and a bunch of white folks as well. Just again, you don't have to go out of context to make your point.
The point is, there is no participation of people who look like me and you on a billion-dollar project that could tremendously impact the poverty rate in Canton and Cleveland. And for you to say, all right, that's not my thing personally.
I didn't say that. I said I'm not up to date on it.
Okay. is it something that you can be incentivized to get up to date on and to use your voice to address it in a way that it's not just throwing darts at somebody?
So, Bob, I'm going to tell you, we're in the moment right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody around the country seems to be having a take on my take on LeBron James. And there's a lot of heat around me. And so what did I do, Bob? I called you up and said, hey, Bob, I'll come on your show.
Mm-hmm.
So I provided you the benefit of my platform and the heat around me so that you could make your point about the Hall of Fame, Wendell Stimley, whatever else.
Okay. Well, let's be clear about that then.
Right.
And I'm glad that you did that, because that's the Jason Whitlock I know. And the reason that I associate with you, because we have to form those type of alliances where it doesn't have to necessarily be your stock in trade, but in order for us to leverage relationships to affect social and economic change, we have to have those kind
right.
of discussions.
But, so what I'm basically trying to say, though, Bob, is that you took your issue and then tried to sit it in my lap and said, now what you going to do? And what I'm saying, I've already done, Bob. There's stuff that I'm passionate about that I'm going to stay on
mm-hmm.
topic of. I don't know if this Hall of Fame deal is the topic that I'm going to be most passionate about and then going to go run to Fox Sports or wherever else and use my platform to discuss it. What I am willing to do is continue to engage with you
okay.
in my free time
mm-hmm.
And use my platform, put a spotlight on you so that you can elevate and be passionate about the issues that you're passionate about, and people will actually pay attention.
Well, that's a fair exchange.
Yeah.
And so we can go back to LeBron then. Where does this go from here? This conversation about whether he drew too much attention to being
victimized. A victim.
Right. Where does this go?
I don't know. I know it's the blowback, or my take has reached LeBron and his teammates. I know that athletes...
Hold on, stop. When you say it's reached them, in what way?
Well, I just know they're being asked about it. Dante Jones was criticizing me, I read this morning, in newspapers. So I'm just glad the discussion is going on among athletes of, again, because I don't think it's ever being put in front of them. What does wealth mean? And when I have it, how should I operate with it? What is the best way for me to help the people that have less wealth than me and people of color from my background? I hope I'm inspiring a discussion, and that, because I see a lot of these athletes, because of the pressure from social media, what they think is the thing to do is, oh, I'm a victim. Someone mistreated me at a grocery store. Someone mistreated me at a department store. A year ago, the safety for Seattle, Cam Chancellor, got on ESPN. Oh, he was a victim. Some white woman whose store was closed wouldn't let him in, him and five of his friends in sweatsuits banging on her door, demanding to be let in. They wouldn't let a woman by herself, or two women by themselves, wouldn't let them in because the store was closed, and they eventually called the police. And Cam Chancellor went on ESPN talking about this was an example of racism. And look, I was a victim of, I wasn't treated like Cam Chancellor. And I use my platform as, hey man, that's stupid. Because my father, who really didn't like white people, built a business in the inner city. If you come banging on his door when the business was closed, he would have pulled out his .38 and told you to go somewhere. And that, they don't come any blacker than my father. And so, again, I need to move these wealthy athletes away from looking for their victimization to moving towards How should I operate in this space? What can I really do that will make an impact on poor people and poor people of color? How can I represent them best? And one of the main things we need to do is understand we're not in the same situation as them. These inconveniences, and no matter how disrespectful, and LeBron was disrespectfully inconvenienced, no question about it. It's disrespect. It was abhorrent. But at the end of the day, was LeBron's life in any way changed? Hell no. Mamie Thiel's life was devastated, borderline ruined. 14-year-old child bludgeoned in the face, tossed in a creek to die. And yeah. Somehow spray paint that we haven't seen is anywhere on that planet is bullshit, Bob.
I still say it's a terrorist act. Because anytime somebody can do something that, whether it's symbolic
Bob,
or not.
Wow, sounds silly, man.
No, it doesn't. Because, see, Jason, you know for a fact that if somebody calls you and threatens your life,
Bob,
and you don't have any proof of it, that doesn't mean that you ain't looking around the corner.
Bob, I get it.
In this day and age.
Bob,
a crackpot named John Hinckley got close enough to shoot Ronald Reagan.
There's no question about it. Hey, look, Bob, more than likely in this zip code, there's going to be some killings and some shootings this weekend.
Yeah.
And so whether it's from ISIS, from Nazis, to gangbangers, to whomever the shooter is dead, and the pain is the same.
And the threat is a threat.
Absolutely. But again, I'm just telling you, the likelihood of something happening to LeBron James and his family pales in comparison to right here in this zip code, the young people here. And so, again, where am I going to spend most of my energy and concern? Here. Brentwood will be okay. And LeBron knows that.
Okay, with that being said, if you are sitting in a chair of influence, where is the focus right now in terms of addressing poverty and the vestiges of racism?
To me, where our best solutions are, and this is where, again, I'm so passionate about LeBron and why I'm so respectful and passionate about Jim Brown. LeBron has experienced another blessing, being the greatest superstar in Cleveland since Jim Brown. The connection should be between Jim and LeBron, a passing of the torch of Jim's mission, because Jim's had it right. And so, again, our solutions are economic. Our solutions are about doing. Our solutions are not in victimhood. LeBron, again, another Cleveland, the connection to Jim. The blueprint is right there. And so Jim never made the kind of money that LeBron and these athletes are making now. With that money, they could have incredible influence over the lives of whomever they choose. This is why I was so critical and have been so critical of Colin Kaepernick. He done tossed away all that money that he could actually be doing things for young black folks rather than doing some symbolic gesture. And again, we're so in love. The media is so in love. Oh, he sparked the conversation. Has anybody been fed off a conversation?
No.
Anybody get a paycheck off a sparked conversation?
No.
Anybody here affected by the conversation that Colin Kaepernick sparked? Hell no.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it right for him to be denied an opportunity to make a living?
He's not being denied an opportunity to make a living.
Then why ain't he been signed then?
Because his productivity ain't worth the BS that comes along with it. Anytime you got Spike Lee, a city councilwoman who says she don't know nothing about football, all out here voicing an opinion. Hey, look, Malcolm Jenkins, the safety with the Philadelphia Eagles, he raised a black fist all season. He's still employed. If Colin Kaepernick was any good or good enough, yeah, Bob, if he was any good, the man won one game. Quit. Man, quit. He won one game last year.
The Rams got a backup quarterback I never heard of.
Who
Colin Kaepernick can play circles around.
Okay, but it also, so there's a price point. There's a price point, Bob. Huh? If the man was willing to accept the NFL minimum, he'd probably resign.
He deserved more than the minimum, man.
Deserved ain't got a damn thing to do with it, and you know it.
He's a better quarterback.
Deserve ain't got a damn. If you go through life expecting to get what you deserve, you're going to be very disappointed.
Well, I'm talking about what he has earned. This man has earned an opportunity to play in the NFL.
No. He's earned what they've paid him. Right now, they're not paying him. Whatever he got previously, that's what he's earned.
I'm asking you point
blank. He's on his knees begging for a job, and I'm tired of black men on their knees begging. He's on his knees begging. Let me leak out. I ain't going to take a knee no more. He's begging.
I'm not.
He blew it. He should have thought it through and acted strategically. And if he wanted to be some sort of activist and impact young black people, he should have done the things necessary to keep his job, not get involved with some controversial gesture that made him popular over Twitter and social media. He should have got involved in something real.
But does that mean that he is not good enough to play in the NFL?
He's good enough. But Greg Hardy's good enough to play in the NFL. He's better than Colin Kaepernick. He ain't got a job.
Now, I'm going to take that shot right there because Greg Harvey is he going to ever get it back in the league?
No, he's 28 just like Kaepernick. Ain't nobody touching him. Deserve is not something that matters in this life. See, this is the real shit that people need to hear. All that BS over Twitter, they're not telling you how to survive in this life. They tell you how to get retweets and likes, but how to survive and operate and move forward in this life, you'll never find it over Twitter. You'll never find it over social media. I wish LeBron would get off of all social media. Come out here and camp out during the offseason. You got a home in Brentwood. Invite Jim Brown over every damn night.
I'm with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know, but you'd rather him.
Hold on. Don't put no words in my goddamn mouth.
I don't put no words in my mouth.
So what are you really saying as we begin to turn the corner in this conversation? Because one other thing I wanted to ask you about was when you and Chris Broussard were going at it, yeah. was that real
100% real
performance?
Yeah, it was 100% real. And Chris came over to my house that night and watched the game.
You couldn't tell it by the way y'all went at it, man.
Yeah, no, we went. It was real. Chris was very passionate. I was very passionate. But, you know, man, Chris is a good dude. Chris is a devout Christian. I disagree with Chris on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, afterwards, as we continue to have the conversation, I just explained it. I was like, hey, Chris, man, you know, go look who Jesus hung around with. It wasn't LeBron.
Mm. It's poor NBA people. Finals. How this shit going to play out, man?
Warriors in five.
Please. Are you serious? Warriors in five.
Yeah, did you miss game one, Bob?
No, they had game one last year. Oh. Then they had game two. Then they had game three. Then they had
look, game four.
Game five, game six.
I would prefer for LeBron and the Cavaliers to win. I don't respect what the Warriors did.
By signing
Kevin Durant. They got in a street fight. LeBron beat them up. And they ran home and got their big brother. I don't respect it. But it's going to work.
They are loaded for Bear. Yeah. JaVale, what's his name?
McGee, yeah.
I think he's one of the X factors. But the reason I think Cleveland is going to prevail is that LeBron is 32 years old, and he's at the peak of his powers, and he's going to have a conversation with the affirmative action player on the team, Kevin Love. And tell him, look, man, you're going to step it up and do something more than stand around here. Knock somebody down or do something.
Bob, keep it real, because we're wrapping this up, I think.
Right, right.
Oh, man. We're wrapping this up. But keep it real. You thought you were going to get the best of me, and it did not happen.
What do you mean?
Look, tell the truth.
This is not a competition, man. Yeah, I'm not in competition
now.
With
it
you.
It is now.
How is it a competition?
Now we're going to the scorecard.
Okay, Harold and Letterman. The score is what?
Harold Letterman.
This ain't no TKO. I ain't taking nothing back that I said.
It's not a technical knockout, Bob. It was over in the third round.
Oh, ain't this.
it carried you out of the ring in the third round. You know what? I should have brought Chris. Chris has been wanting to come and do this. Man, I should have brought Chris this time.
Well, sooner or later, I'm going to get in touch with Chris, and then we're going to have, you know, a light-skinned representative on this dais here. But in honesty, man, I'm glad we was able to, you know, voice our own opinions. Yep. And the fact that you came at me in terms of what my agenda is, you're right, that's my agenda. I'm looking at it from the standpoint of I don't want all the spotlight on athletes. All right, in a time when we need new leadership, because you can't feed people, you can't lead people, you can't feed people. And the Wendell Stimleys of the world, the Leon Gars of the world, the A.G. Gastons, all of these folks that none of these folks know about, that they should have mentored with. Wow. I agree with the point you made, and I hope that it gets back to LeBron, man. Come holler at Jim, man. You're 15 minutes away from him. And not just him. All of these athletes need to recognize the fact that y'all piss off enough money to change communities. And that's something we can't avoid. It's not all on them. It's on us to know that we need to bring something to them that's real, you know, in terms of business opportunities, instead of that typical, you know, let's start a rap label shit, you know.
There you go. Bob, I'm glad I came.
And this wasn't, as you just said, overwhelming, dominating performance. I just let you know, use that microphone because I needed people to hear what you had to say.
Are you going to go to Twitter and apologize for being my friend again?
I didn't apologize. I defined. I said, look, I want y'all to understand.
I just
want
to be clear. I disagree with Whitlock.
Because I did. And I told you why, man. This shit is more serious than you think it is, man. You can't minimize this shit like I say, oh, that ain't no big deal. It's a big deal. It was a terrorist act, man. It's a terrorist act. You put that word on anybody, though.
Bob, how much terrorism goes on in rap? Where they sit there, again, there's...
That's a stretch.
Are you kidding? Do you listen to rap music and what they talk about doing to N-word?
No, I don't.
You ain't heard Dej Lo?
Who is it?
Some female rapper.
I don't know those people, man.
I hate N-words. I'm a Nazi.
I don't listen to that shit, man. I do not subscribe
LeBron
to that.
Does.
Huh?
LeBron does.
Really?
Hell, he's best friends with Jay-Z.
Well, that's a news flash.
So, again, when you start talking about creating an environment for death, have you this music that we keep pumping into our young people that tells them to settle all their differences by killing each other?
I am not with none of that.
That's what concerns me more than Brentwood graffiti. I'm just sorry. Brentwood graffiti just doesn't do it for me. I can't get all hyped up about that.
That's a reflection of the time we're living in, man.
What is?
What happened in Brentwood. What happened?
OJ happened in Brentwood, Bob.
And we ain't got over that yet. We still ain't got over that.
All right, I got to go.
Man, thank you, Jason, for letting me be myself. The summation of this show is this, y'all. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, but you ain't entitled to your own facts. And the mere fact that Jason would come here allows me not to have to defend having you as a friend, because I don't have to do that. And I don't let people choose my friends. And we don't always agree, as you have seen today. But one thing I will say about this brother, he's real in what he believes in, and he has put his money where his mouth is, and he wasn't trying to buy nobody off, as you've heard today. He's very passionate about what he's passionate about. So I want to thank you, man, for coming over and sharing your point of view in a space that is consistent with what I do. And for that, I salute you, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're done. Woo!
That was a good one.
Oh, my God.